So Luke 24, starting with 13. That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What is this conversation that you're holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word, before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and they did not find his body. They came back saying that they had even seen a vision of angels, who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. And he said to them, 'O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them all the scriptures. In all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. So they drew near to the village to which they were going. He acted as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, saying, 'Stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent.' So when he went in to stay with them, and when he was at the table with them, he took the bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, 'Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures?' And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem. And they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, 'The Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon.' Then they told what had happened on the road, and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread." Let's pray and ask the Lord's presence. God, we just thank you for your word. We thank you that it is alive. Lord, it's active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, Lord. So we just pray, Lord, in the study and the opening up of your word today, Lord, that you would do something powerful, Lord, that your spirit, the spirit of truth, would teach us in all things concerning you today, God. We pray for power on your word, Lord, that you would manifest yourself, Lord, in this place through the word of God. We ask, Lord, that you would anoint my tongue, Lord. Give me a supernatural expression of your spirit, Lord, to speak and declare your word today, God. If there be anything in me, Lord, that's contrary to you, Lord, I ask that you arrest me now, God, that you would deal with me now by your spirit, God, that I may speak as you've commanded me to speak, as an oracle of God, proclaiming the good things of Jesus today. So I pray, Lord, if there's anything contrary to you, if I have a thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, that you would just arrest me now, Lord. Let me deal with it by the Spirit, God. Just pray for your provision and your power on the word today, God. Be with us, Lord. I pray for the hearer today, all of us, God, that we would truly hear, Lord, what the Spirit of God is saying. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I truly desire to hear the Lord every day. For according to John 10:35, when I hear him, I know I belong to him. I know I'm the sheep of his fold, because his sheep hear the shepherd's voice. I truly desire to know the Lord every day, for knowing him is eternal life, John 17:3 says. I truly desire to seek the Lord every day, for when I seek him, I will find him, according to Jeremiah 29. I truly desire to see the Lord every day, to see him clearly every day. For when I see him, the Lord says, we'll be like him. I truly desire to learn from the Lord every day. He says to take his yoke upon us. Take on his yoke, for his yoke is easy and his burden is light. Learn from the Lord. I want to learn from the Lord every day. I truly desire to praise and worship the Lord every day. For according to Psalms 22, he is enthroned on the praises of his people. He dwells in the praises and worship of his people. I truly desire to be a part of the body of the Lord every day. For when every part is functioning, we grow up into the head, which is Christ. Quite simply, I want an everyday encounter with the Lord. Are you with me in that? Do you want to encounter the Lord on a daily basis? Are any of you tired of sacred moments in life in contrast to secular moments in life? You know, just coming to these places like this and just doing religious things and then going on our way doing our secular things. Is anybody just tired of that? I'm tired of that. And I want a true to life everyday encounter of Jesus Christ in my life. I'm not sure what your daily encounter experience has been lately, but I can tell you this with certainty, that the Lord desires to reveal himself every day. And he has given us the provisions for us to encounter him. As a matter of fact, in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, he says that his divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence. So 1 Peter says, God has given us all things for life, for this life and godliness. Maybe you're experiencing new measures of God's presence in your life. Maybe you're just feeling like you're living the spiritual dream right now. God is just so close. He's so evident in every area of your life. You wake up in the morning and you sense him. You're like, good morning, Jesus. You're so close to me. Maybe you quite possibly feel like you have all things that pertain to life and godliness. Or maybe you're trudging along. You're like in waist deep in the muck and the mire of life. You're trudging along on your journey with Christ and not really feeling like you're encountering him in any real sense whatsoever, in any tangible way whatsoever. But you're diligent to continue on your faith journey, pressing into God regardless of the way you feel. Maybe that's your experience right now. Or you might just be in a desperate place on your spiritual journey, where you hunger and thirst for a real encounter of the living God. Your faith is bruised and battered and beaten down and defeated as you feel like God is a million miles away. Or you might be like the disciples that we just read about in the scripture today, very hopeful in the purpose that Jesus came to this earth. You know, they said, well, we had hoped that he was going to be the one who would redeem Israel. They're hopeful. They're actually well-versed in the story of Jesus and his resurrection, willing to tell it to whoever might walk up on the road. But all the while, not recognizing that the life of Christ is right there with them as they walk. Follower of Christ, regardless of where you are on your spiritual journey, God wants to encounter you with his presence every day and has made provision for those encounters. So today I just want to begin a series of talks entitled An Everyday Encounter. where I'm just going to take a deeper look into some things that the Lord has provided for us, has made the way for us to encounter Him on a daily basis. This series is going to focus on God's Word and the life that exists in God's Word. This prayer that God has allowed us to enter into, a conversation with the living God. Worship that, as I stated earlier, brings the presence of God. And then community. God wants to encounter us in His Word, in prayer, in worship, and in community. And today I want to talk specifically about an everyday word encounter. I'm going to focus specifically on the Scriptures today. There's something powerful about God's Word, right? There's something powerful about God's Word. There's something amazing about God's Word. I wasn't going to share this, but the other day, I just want to share with you my personal experience lately. The other day I was watching the movie Soul Surfer. Has anybody seen that? Soul Surfer? It's about the young lady who got her arm bit off by a shark as she surfed. Pretty sick kind of thing, man. That's just crazy. And then she gets back on there and wins some tournaments and stuff on the surfboard. It's just amazing. On a side note, I almost lost my arm in a motorcycle accident. I told my wife that I was feeling really inspired. You know, I need to get back on the motorcycle. She didn't like that at all. I have a hard time keeping the rubber side down, so it didn't work very well. But anyway, that's just an important aside, but an aside nonetheless. But I was watching this movie. And throughout the movie, it was a Christian-themed movie. There was all kinds of stuff relating to Christ and the church in the movie. There was a couple of times in the movie where, one in particular, there was a church service. And if I'm honest, just the way they shot it and the way it was expressed, it was just kind of cheesy, for lack of a better way to describe it. It was just real hokey-looking, you know, worship service. But I'm finding myself laying there looking at this cheesy expression of a worship service, and they're saying a couple of small passages of Scripture in the context of the worship. They're singing songs, and they're just, you know, saying things in the context of the worship service, and I find myself weeping. I'm laying there trying not to let my kids or my wife see me, like, what is wrong with him? You know, I'm laying there, I'm like, you know, trying to do this, but I'm crying because of what's going on in this worship service and the hearing of God's Word. A couple of scenes later, this dad and this daughter, after her arm is gone and she's thinking about getting back in the water, he says to her, "You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you." And I'm just going, yeah, Dad, that's what I'm talking about. And I just start crying because the Word is powerful. It's awesome. It is amazing, the life that's in this Word. And you know, I've shared this with you a couple times, just the times with my kids at night, I'll be reading a story that I've read hundreds of times. And all of a sudden, just an overwhelming sense of God's power and His love for us expressed in the Word just comes over me. My kids think I'm from another planet and they're wondering what's wrong with Dad, but still there's something active and powerful in this Word, and God has given it to us so that we can encounter Him, so that we can encounter the living God. Hebrews 4:12 says this, "For the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart." We see this pretty clearly in our text today in verse 32 when the disciples said, "Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened the scriptures to us?" There was something when Jesus spoke the word of God, spoke the scriptures to them as he started with Moses and proceeded through the prophets. There was something going on in those disciples going, "Man, weren't our hearts just burning when he spoke those words?" These guys recognized that there was something powerful being spoken. But maybe they were missing the key provision in their everyday life. Maybe they were missing an element of this word. They knew the word and they knew it was powerful. But maybe I don't know, I could be wrong, but maybe they didn't spend a whole lot of time meditating on God's word and eating it and devouring it. The key element, the key provision that God's given us is the fact that we can meditate on his word and receive life for this journey. We can see this from Jesus' statement about these disciples in verses 25 through 27, when he says to them, "O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?" And beginning with Moses and the prophets, he interpreted to them the scriptures, the things that concerned himself. He says to these disciples, "You foolish guys." Hey, dummies. I don't know, maybe. "Foolish ones. Do you not have the words of life? Do you not know from Moses going through the prophets, the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth and how it's all supposed to play out? Do you not know the power that exists in the Word of God and it being revealed and fulfilled in this day? Foolish ones, slow of heart to believe." Jesus is compelled to remind them of the Scriptures, beginning with Moses and going through the prophets, all that the Scriptures revealed of himself. And maybe, I might be wrong here, but maybe these disciples had heard about these things and knew them cognitively. They knew them in their mind, but really they hadn't meditated on them and digested them and heard them and muttered them. Possibly they didn't have ears to hear what the Lord was saying in his word. If they had, don't you think they would have been going around like living as if Christ had risen from the dead and telling everybody, telling Jesus himself who'd walked up, "Hey, did you hear that Jesus rose from the dead?" Instead, they're like, "We had hoped he'd been the Messiah and we'd hoped he'd been the one that saved Israel." If they had really heard the words of God and meditated and muttered them out of their mouths on a regular basis, maybe they would have believed. Maybe they would have had an encounter with the living God through his word. But it seems to me that they just heard about them and didn't receive them as life. God desires that we truly hear his word. And according to Psalms 40, verse 6, he says that he has given us an open ear in order to hear and respond to his word. Psalms 40, verse 6 through 8, I'm going to read that real quick. If you want to turn there, you can. If not, it may be up on the screen. Verse 6, "In sacrifice and offering you have not delighted, but you have given me an open ear. Burnt offering and sin offering you have not required." It says, "You have given me an open ear." I like the way Eugene Peterson talks about this passage. He says this phrase, "open ear," literally could be translated, "ears you have dug for me." That the Lord has dug out ears so that we can hear. Yeah, if you need to get one of mine too, you can smack around, that'd be fine. I'm just kidding. "Ears you have dug for me." God desires us to hear his word so much that he has taken a pickaxe and a shovel and dug a hole in the side of our blockheads so that we can hear him. So that we can hear him. Not just hear about him, but hear him. And he's literally dug canals in the side of our heads so that we could hear him and receive the life that he has for us. It's also interesting in this passage that it's in the context of religious performance. These guys are bringing offerings and sacrifices. They know the system. They know the whole thing. All the while, they do not hear the word of God. They know and they recognize the system of things. They know and recognize how to do the offerings and how to bring the sacrifice, but they do not hear the word of God. The psalmist, his religious colleagues, had read about how to do the ritual sacrifices and all along had missed the message. Simply put, God spoke, but they did not hear. And God wants us to hear him. God wants us to hear him in the depths of our being. Because the Lord dug out some holes in our blockheads for hearing, we can say, "Behold, I have come. In the scroll of the book it is written of me." This is starting with verse 7. "Behold, I have come. In the scroll of the book it is written of me. I delight to do your will, O my God. Your law is written on my heart." So there's something that happens in the hearing, in the real hearing of God's word, that it becomes a part of who we are. It becomes a part of our heart, and it moves us to do the will of the Father, to do the will of God. Romans 10:17 says it like this: "So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God," or through the word of Christ. Faith comes as we hear him. We take these holes that he's dug out in our heads and we truly hear the words of God. We truly hear the words of Christ and they become life to us. They become part of our hearts and we are prompted to obedience. Faith comes to walk accordingly. Faith comes because we have heard the life-giving words of God. Not only is God's word heard in meditation, but it is to be muttered. I know that's a weird word. It was weird for me. But as I looked up the actual definition of that word, meditate, it literally means to mutter, to say it over and over again, to continually speak it. So there's something to me that's connected with the hearing and the speaking of God's word. Psalms 1, verses 1 through 2 says this: "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, in the words of God. And on his law he meditates day and night." So not only does he meditate internally, not only does he ponder the words of God, but he mutters them over and over and over again. The word meditates literally means to mutter. So there's something intrinsically verbal about meditation. We can say with confidence that the psalmist would continually mutter the word of God. Look at what the Lord told Joshua as he received a call to possess the land of Canaan. As he received the call to go into the promised land and possess it. It says this in Joshua 1:8, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night." So there's something connected here with the mouth and meditation. It will not depart from your mouth, therefore you meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous. He will make your way prosperous. And then you will have good success. There's a connection here with the mouth and the meditation. Let's look real quickly to Psalms 19, verse 14. Psalms 19, verse 14. says, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer." Again, something connected here with the mouth and meditation, with the vocal spoken word and the internal pondering of God's word. Psalm 63, starting with verse 5. "My soul will be satisfied with fat and rich food, and my mouth will praise you with joyful lips when I remember you upon my bed and meditate on you in the watches of the night." I'm getting this picture of this psalmist in the watches of the night. He's up, he's watching, he's saying over and over again the words of God, the word of the Lord. He's meditating, he's muttering, he's speaking out the words of God, and it's life to him. It is satisfaction to him as fat and rich food. His mouth praises with joyful lips because he's muttering the words of God as he watches in the night. So God has given us provision. He has given us his word, and he calls us to meditate on his word day and night, to both hear the word and let it sink deep into our hearts and change who we are and prompt us to be obedient and prompt us to act and do the will of God. It changes who we are. It is new life to us as we read, hear, and mutter his word, as we speak it out, as we memorize it and speak it out on a daily basis. His life becomes real to us. We encounter him every day. The effects of meditating on God's word are supernatural. The provision that God gives us as we meditate is it brings revival to our souls. It brings revival to us. It gives us wisdom. It brings increased faith, like we've said in Romans 10. There is something powerful about this word. Do you truly want to encounter God on a daily basis, an everyday basis? I know this seems like really practical, you know, when we just say, hey, meditate on his word. Isn't that what all good Christians should be doing anyway? You know, just kind of like reading his word, meditating on it, speaking it out. But how diligent are we to do that? I'm not insinuating anything. I'm saying that for you to ask yourself that question. I'm asking myself that question, you know. Anthony Novak said not too long ago to me and asking me how I separate my devotional life and my life as far as, for lack of a better way to describe it, sermon preparation, you know. And I said, I do everything that I can to make it not separated. Like my devotional life, out of the devotional life that I have with the Lord, hopefully he'll speak to me and reveal something to me about his word that I can share in the context of the congregation, or that I can speak in the context of my family, or that I can speak in another place that I might be in. But sometimes I find myself just sitting down to prepare the sermon, like reading the word of God to pass the test. And it becomes rote and routine from time to time. Because of my perspective toward the word, oh shoot, Sunday's coming. And I've got people that are going to be looking at me going, "What you got today, Brent?" Lord, where are you? But the Lord has given us his word, and it is powerful, and it is active, and if it's sunk into the depths of our heart, it changes who we are. We are now prompted to obedience to God's word because of the life that's in it. Our lips are joyful because of the life that's in this word. We lay at night, and even our times at night as we lay in bed and we can't go to sleep. My son Evan from time to time has a hard time going to sleep. He just, you know, he's all jacked up and ready to go. He has a hard time, you know, settling in sometimes. And I'm not saying this is a bad thing. I'm saying he goes to sleep last of everybody in our family because he's, you know, he just lays that. And we've encouraged them when they have a problem sleeping, you can do something. You can get the word out. You know, you can get the word out and read it. We've encouraged Maggie to do that when she's dealing with stuff. You know, get the word out and just read it. Go over and over and over again the word of God. Because there's something about the word of God that brings life. And even when you can't go to sleep, it's not a wasteful time because you're muttering the life-giving power expressed in the words of God. So this sounds fairly practical in nature. But what do you do in regards to this? What do we do to encounter God on an everyday basis? Quite simply, meditate on His Word. Meditate on His Word. Hear His Word. Mutter His Word. Memorize it so that when you're driving in your car, you can speak the Word of God. You can declare the Word of God that's powerful. I'll encourage you, just practically speaking, you might be saying, Brent, how do I do this? Well, you know, what can I do to help me on this journey? Let's do something together. Let's get a note card. If I would have thought prior to, I would have had everybody a note card, but I didn't do that. But let's buy some note cards and just write a passage of Scripture on that. Take it with you during your day. Just one passage of Scripture. And in your moments during the day, pull that passage of Scripture out. If it's you got your phones with you, some of you got Bibles on your phones or whatever, pull out your Bible on your phone. What is the Word of God for today? And just read it. Speak it out loud. Don't just read it. Speak it out loud in the day. I guarantee you he'll bring life to that. I guarantee you if we value His Word and we meditate on it, we hear it and we mutter it, He will bring life to it. Do you agree with me there? Just really quickly, as we close here, I would just encourage you, if you have any ideas about how to read God's Word and how to study it and how to make it a part of your normal life, because we've said it's active, it's powerful, it's living, look at the people at your table and say, here's what we can do. Here's what we can do to study and read the Word of God. So I'm going to pray, and then I'll ask you to do that. If you got any good insight on how you do this in your own life, if the Lord's showing you a revelation of how to do that, let's encourage the body with that. Let's respond to one another and encourage the body. So let's pray.